This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
How are you doing on this short week for perhaps many of you who took a few days off around the 4th of July holiday? Well, welcome back if you've tuned in. And if you're a first-timer, as always, the red carpet is here for you. We even vacuumed it off. Kate Delaney's my name, and boy, it has been a rocky, long weekend in many, many ways. A lot of analysis and conversation about what happened in Highland Park, Illinois, a suburb just north of Chicago. Ironically, I spent some time there as a kid because my favorite aunt lived in Chicago, and I was always begging to go and see her. She would traipse me around the city, and she had friends that was so close. It was one of the many suburbs that lived there, and I just remember it being like any other kind of sleepy hamlet, right? We had the main street, and you had some of these Victorian houses with wraparound porches, and it could be anywhere USA and in kind of a manicured town, I'll call it that. So the people there, I'm sure, thought it was just a normal 4th of July celebration. They were headed downtown to listen to the marching band and see some kids on floats and all that kind of thing, things that you do on the 4th of July, things that you see in a parade. Clowns and other things were planned for that parade, but it was shortly after the marching band broke open that bullets went flying, and it was hard to tell at first because you think firecrackers. You think, oh, someone's messing around with firecrackers, but it wasn't that. And so now more stories are emerging about what happened to the victims and who was with them and how they fell to the ground, or people who survived it, or the little boy whose two parents, sadly, were killed, and the fact that a GoFundMe was set up for him, and just to raise a little bit of money, and it turns out that now it's over $2.2 million and counting, because people were, I think, horrified to hear the story that his father try to throw his body on top of him, and he was crying and walking around, and someone scooped him up eventually, got to the police station, and then grandparents were found because they had no idea what was happening, or that their daughter and son-in-law had been killed. So lots of details coming out about the gunman, and what did his family know, and what did people around him say, and the usual conversations that we have. But there was a second attack that was planned. So the suspect confessed to the mass shooting and talked about the possibility of a second shooting, because he escaped by dressing in a disguise as a woman, and he shot 80 rounds from a semi-automatic rifle. Then he got out of there in those women's clothing to disguise his identity, left 7 dead, dozens and dozens and dozens injured and traumatized, and you know, all of that. But he was planning to head somewhere else. He talked about the fact that there was a target. He was going to go to Wisconsin, but luckily that didn't happen. He didn't go through with the idea. Hadn't done enough planning, I guess, is what he said. But he was intending to go there as well. Wow. And in the middle of all of this, just briefly, there are now those reports, and there's been investigations into Uvalde and what could have happened and should have happened and didn't happen, and the near misses and the chance to take the gunman out. And of course, that's hard to hear, because imagine if you're the families and you know that oh, you mean he could have been stopped? And this particular report showed that at the Robb Elementary, where the gunman went in before he entered the school, there was a Uvalde police officer who aimed his rifle. He had his rifle on him before he went into the school, but he was waiting for a supervisor's permission to open fire. And he just, so he doesn't know if they didn't hear or he just didn't get the confirmation. And this is a report that was done by the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training. They conduct active shooter trainings for police in Texas and in other places. So he was waiting to take that shot and didn't take it. What a tragedy, because that would have been that. He wouldn't have gotten into the school and nobody would have been hit. Nobody. That's just one revelation. There are other missteps and new disclosures about mistakes that were made by the responding officers during that May 24th tragedy at the school, and going against the best practices that are nationally known and potentially endangering other lives, and just flawed responses. And the belief in this report is that some of the people who died during the event didn't have to die. They wouldn't have died. It was a 28-page report that concluded, in looking at audio analysis of footage, the gunman firing 100 rounds in the first 3 minutes in the school, and everything else that they went through, looking at the school, the exterior windows and whatnot, what were the options that the police had? What were the options that they had on site? And what could have happened, right? The report pointed out, though, that the officer told investigators that he was concerned if he missed the target, he could have shot a child, and that the shooter was outside of the range for which officers are typically trained to fire. But he did say he absolutely had a shot on him. He was waiting for that response that he, you know, never, ever got. In the meantime, politics as usual, you know, the life of a politician floats on votes and polls. The people that try to get a president elected or a senator or anyone in Congress or anybody who runs for any office, the people around them that run the campaigns are very interested in polls. President Joe Biden has put the presidency in a place that we haven't seen in 50 years, in the latest Gallup poll anyway. Less than a quarter of those surveyed have confidence in the presidency, worse than during the Trump presidency, and nearly as bad as the end of the George W. Bush presidency, going back to 1975, by the way. Gallup has never recorded a confidence reading as low as Biden's 23%. 23%. So a new Rasmussen report also shows, now that can go either way because certainly polls can slant certain ways, but their online survey found that 59% of likely U.S. voters believe Biden shouldn't run for re-election in 2024. Only 29% think Biden should seek a second term in the White House. There's conversations about Gavin Newsom running for president, Kamala Harris running for president next time around. Oh my, oh my. It's going to be interesting. Buckle up, as always, when we talk about politics. Put the politics aside for a second, sort of, as we're headed to the man cave.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, This is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Up the man cave. If we were sitting next to each other and the group of the rest of us, the man slash woman cave, I'm sorry, we would have to be talking about tennis for at least a couple minutes. And what's the big deal in tennis? Well, you have a stud like Rafa Nadal taking on a young American who did quite well. When you think of Americans and tennis, what are the names that come to mind? Tick, tick, tick. Dink. Well, there are a group of them that are actually pretty good, and Taylor Fritz is one of them, and he's exciting to watch out of California. He beat Rafa Nadal at Indian Wells, and this time around he wasn't as lucky, although it was an exciting match. It went five sets, and it came down to a handful of points in a tiebreaker. Nadal won 7-6, 10-4. In that tiebreaker, so good for him as he moves on to the semifinals. And like I said, it was exciting to watch that. And then Nick Kyrgios, the bad boy troublemaker from Australia, took on Christian Garin, and he won in three sets. The last set was a tiebreaker, and Kyrgios is a fan favorite and a fan nemesis. A lot of people don't like his antics on the court, and he knows that. You know, he, and he's conscious of it. He'll say, I just want to remind everyone that I'm pretty good. And he had a few things that happened in a previous match at Wimbledon against Tsitsipas. And in that match, he, you know, served underhanded, was babbling to himself, caused all kinds of things, got fined, as did Tsitsipas. But he does move on, and he has some incredible wild tennis skills. He smashes the ball. I swear it's like a BB when it leaves his racket at times, and very hard to follow. So he will be hard to beat, I think. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I'm a huge footballer, and I know lots of you are, too. That's why we do our Nail the Score thing. No matter what, we always mix in Nail the Score, and believe it or not, that'll be coming up soon. We have training camps that are opening up. So you think of the Browns trading Baker Mayfield to the Panthers for a draft pick. You know, Mayfield didn't want to be there, and they knew it, and they apparently didn't want to take on that salary anyway, even though they're in a precarious situation with Deshaun Watson. But the Browns agreed to trade Mayfield to the Panthers for a conditional draft pick in 2024. They're going to pay, the Panthers are going to pay $4.85 million of his salary. The Browns will pay $10.5 million. He agreed to the quarterback to convert the remainder of his $18.8 million into incentives to facilitate the deal, which, of course, once they do the physical, but he can earn that money back on team performance. So the Browns will get a fourth or fifth round pick in 2024. So how about that? Who would have thought that someone like Baker Mayfield would go for a fourth or fifth round pick in 2024? I would never have predicted that. Never. I mean, he was the number one pick in the 2018 draft. And he's now going to be part of a Panthers team that already has Sam Darnold, the number three selection in 2018 for quarterbacks, right? So Mayfield should be the quarterback for the Panthers, but we'll see. I guess or they'll compete for the spot. That could be as well. They could end up doing that in camp, but that could be big for the Panthers, for anybody who's a Panthers fan. I think the other interesting side of this is the Browns, what they're going to do. Jacoby Brissett could end up being their quarterback because I think Deshaun Watson, with the investigation into these civil lawsuits by 25 women that range from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior during massage sessions, with the NFL looking at this and the NFL Players Association, their disciplinary officer, I don't know. He could end up being out for the year. I mean, who knows? And if he is, they have other quarterbacks that, like Jacoby, might end up being the quarterback there, I guess. There are a lot of things to be determined in training camp. Training camp is always interesting for any NFL team, particularly if there is a shakeup. Speaking of shakeups, if you live in Seattle, Jody Allen, the de facto owner of the Seahawks and the Trailblazers, released a statement this week saying that the teams are not currently for sale, but eventually will be. And this comes on the heels of what was reported last month that Nike founder Phil Knight and one of the Dodgers part owners made an offer for more than $28 billion to buy the Blazers. And, of course, she's the trustee of Paul Allen's trust since her brother, the Microsoft co-founder, died in 2018. So we'll see if that ends up happening, that Phil Knight ends up in that position or not. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll said last month, because he keeps getting asked this question of Allen, is he going to sell the Seahawks? And he says she's never entertained that thought at all. I never heard her say that at all. He keeps emphasizing that. Last summer, Forbes ranked the Seahawks as the NFL's 12th most valuable franchise. You know what the 12th most valuable franchise in the NFL is worth? Just take a guess for a minute. I'm just going to let you guess silently, all of you listening to the show. $3.5 billion. Did you think I was going to say a million? Of course you didn't. Billion. The Denver Broncos have reached an agreement to be sold for $4.65 billion. The Broncos were 10th on the Forbes 2021 list. How about that? And then they were estimated $3.75 billion. That is a lot of dough. Ray, me, my friends, for a team, isn't it? Whew. That's a great investment if you got them in the beginning. How much are you getting back, right? How much are you getting back after that? All right, we're in the thick of it with baseball. They call it the dog days. But it's interesting, if you're a Yankees fan, wow, how about Aaron Judge? 30th homer, grand slam, 114.7 miles an hour off the bat. That was Wednesday's action for the Yankees. You gotta love it if you're a Yankees fan. You know, the Yankees spanked the Pirates. You know what the score in that one was? 16-0. And the Yankees have won 59 games. 59 games. They're just crushing. I mean, absolutely crushing. When you look at across the board at all other teams, and you look at their record in comparison. I mean, hey, the Dodgers beat the Rockies 2-1, and they've got 52 wins. But and the Astros lost to the Royals, and they have 53 wins, and now, of course, another loss. I don't know. This might be the dog days, but it's also a good time to catch a baseball game, especially if you're in one of those warm weather places and and they have a roof or a dome, because you know you're going to be cool. I mean, there's always that argument. A lot of people like the traditional ballparks and they don't like the domes. But I think when you're talking about sitting for hours sweltering, I don't know, there's something about the comfort of having that shade that makes a big, big, big difference. You know, I talked about the Yankees and I mentioned Aaron Judge. And the New York Yankees chairman, who is Hal Steinbrenner, and Aaron Judge say they can agree on something, that contracts, because people keep talking about contract talks, that the contract talks have to wait till November, because they're focusing on what's happening on the field, right? And Steinbrenner said, no matter what happens during the season, we're not going to give any updates. We're just not going to, because they keep getting asked this all the time, every day. What's happening with this contract? Is he going to get his contract renewed? I just said how many home runs he has. I can't imagine. They avoided arbitration by agreeing to $19 million on a one-year contract in late June because they couldn't work out a deal on his 2022 salary. The final agreement was exactly between the $2 million that Judge asked for and the $17 million that the Yankees offered when the figures were exchanged. Yeah. But, you know, he can make all these bonuses up. MVP, World Series MVP, all that kind of stuff. Getting to the World Series. He's not hurting, trust me. He's going to get his big, big payday. And I guarantee he wants to get a World Series under his belt. All right, we're closing the man cave doors for now anyway.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. The Biden administration proposed wide-ranging changes to student loan forgiveness programs. Those proposed changes, which the Department of Education hopes to finalize later this year, would make it easier for those who already qualify for existing programs to get debt relief. Congressman Bob Good spoke to Fox News.
Here in this case, paying or subsidizing folks not making their payments is costing the taxpayers, and it's contributing to inflation. All of these president's policies are contributing to it. He likes to call it the Putin inflation, but it's absolutely the Biden inflation because of what he's doing on energy, what he's doing on spending, what he's done to the supply chain.
On Thursday, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will learn his sentence for federal civil rights violations in the killing of George Floyd. A plea deal is in place that will likely extend his time behind bars. It calls for 20 to 25 years in prison. This is USA Radio News. A report released Wednesday shares disturbing information about the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas.
Police in Uvalde, Texas had three chances to stop an armed gunman before he entered an elementary school where 19 students and two teachers were killed. In one case, an officer with a rifle had the attacker in his sights but asked for permission from a supervisor to pull the trigger. The report from the Alert Center at Texas State University says officers lost momentum after coming under fire. It's critical of the rank-and-file officers who converged on the campus. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration and Juul Labs agreed on Wednesday to temporarily suspend their legal battle while the government conducts more reviews of the company's electronic cigarettes. The agreement comes one day after the FDA placed a hold on its initial order that banned Juul's products from the market. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Latte macchiato, some toast and some Marmite. Back up into the corner, spoiling for a fight. Kicking up the fuss pots, hanging from the lamps. Avoiding everyday jobs, pulling off your pants. Kicking through the tripwires, rolling up the hills. Taking lots of liberties and lots of little pills. Everything you never needed, I think we'll all agree. It's all to your advantage in terms of ease and speed.
Henrik Florness joins us. He's written a book called The Ease of Being. Henrik, I love the title. And right away, your mind starts thinking about so many different things. But even the title makes me feel at ease. And I know that it has spirituality mixed in because of the, you know, again, the title and sort of the lifting of how our souls feel. But what led you to write this book?
Well, I came here like 7 years ago from Norway, and I thought people thought I needed to kind of convey this beingness that I kind of had discovered within myself. So that's when I kind of started to find the words over these 7 years to kind of start like giving words that people could connect with and kind of return to that ease and beauty within themselves that we kind of have within our being. But my kind of journey started about 20 years ago when I went to chiropractic school, and I had this realization that we are like all not really connected to our bodies. It seems to be like full of tension and degeneration, and the body felt frail. So I was like 21 years old at a time, and that was a shocker for me because I was just finished in the military. I was playing soccer. I felt great. And then I realized that I had all this degeneration in my spine. And I was like, wow, that means that I'm kind of disconnected. And then, so from like my dad being a medical doctor and meeting chiropractic and also meeting Tai Chi, which is kind of this slow motion kind of energy movements or like self-defense from China, I kind of realized that there's like different ways to connect with the body, and everybody seems to talk about the body and the health of it. But then I realized that, well, they all seem to kind of imply that there was some stress in the body that I wasn't aware of. And then I met this teacher that kind of was like trying to tell me to drop my shoulders. And I was like, well, if I'm going to drop my shoulders, does that mean that I wasn't able to do it? It was just kind of weird because I'm so good at doing body stuff. I was so good. And here I met something that I wasn't good at. And it kind of implied, I realized it kind of implied that there must be, he was kind of telling me to relax. And I was like, well, that sounds like what old people need to do, not a 21-year-old. So then, but then I was like, wait, does that mean that I'm stressed? And I didn't feel stressed. I never felt, I felt fine. But then when I truly kind of had to go deeper into it, I had to dare to like surrender to what he was saying. And as he kept telling me to drop my shoulders, I kind of went through this kind of vulnerable feeling, like frustration. And then suddenly, when I totally had to be like, wait, I have to trust him. I have to trust that there is something deeper. And suddenly, from one moment to the other, I suddenly had this kind of out-of-body experience where I suddenly looked at my body from behind. And suddenly, it was like my body was like looking up at me, like kind of stuck his head out like a turtle and said, I'm here. And I'm alive. I'm listening. And I'm like, whoa. And in that moment, the whole body just kind of relaxed, sunk down, and it was just, I didn't feel anything, but I could just, I was watching it from the back, from being, I was watching the body, and I was like, oh my God, that's what it means. So then after that, I started like this kind of journey to be like, wow, if the more we can return to this simplicity and ease of being, the more our body will start relaxing. And kind of like it becomes this ease and flow of life that you can kind of take with you. So that's kind of what I'm bringing into this book to kind of help guide people just as I've been guided myself.
Yeah, and I love how you describe that and getting into the flow and your body and you not even realizing that. And we're not going to give everything away, but just tell the listeners some of the things they can do, because I guarantee there's people that have problems dropping their shoulders. I was just thinking that I think I do after you said that.
Yeah, well, that's why it took so long for me to kind of, well, how do I explain this to people? It took a while to kind of, you know, I could kind of guide people more with touch in the beginning. I was like able to kind of show people. And then gradually that's when I found words and kind of like there has to be an intention. So it's like you kind of have to open up that there it's possible. That's kind of what I realized. I had not known that it was possible. Nobody told me this. So first I kind of had to open up that, yeah, we have the it is so easy to connect and to relax, but we kind of need to like make room for it. We have to make room for like this kind of connection with ourselves where we kind of allow ourselves to kind of ease. So it's just kind of like I don't try to like put too much mind into it, too much words. So that's why I kind of use a lot of silence in my writings, because it's more just, it is so natural. It's like when we were a little baby, we were like all at ease. But we kind of forgot about it because we were so pristinely in our being at that time.
Yeah. So yeah, I know what you're saying. Kind of, yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to remind people. It's more of a reminder because it's so instinctively with us that I don't try to like force people to it. They need to be open to be like, oh my God, maybe I need a little bit more of that. And then they start to be like, wow, this is really nice.
Yeah, so the idea of that, because, you know, this is your fourth book. So you have, in this whole mastery of ease and what you talk about, and I mentioned spirituality, because you say with this book, it reaches all kinds of people. Any kind of person could really use the book.
Right.
But those who are more spiritually inclined really can gravitate toward that ease that they might have lost. Like, you were someone who didn't even know you had it.
Right. So, yeah, in Norway, people are kind of less spiritually inclined. So I use more words as of relaxation and well-being. But in America, people are a little bit more open to the word spirituality because it just means that coming alive. And when I realized that the body is alive, that means that we're alive. And I guess I've always thought the body was kind of like a machine. Just eat this, do this, act right. But it's like kind of listening to you. So you kind of have to treat it with kind of kindness and just, you know, it's like a love relationship. So it kind of just shifted my whole perspective. We're like, wow, if the body's alive, then I was like, wow, life is alive. And I'm alive. It became easier to understand myself when I realized my body was alive.
Your body's alive.
So that's,
yeah. And so when people read it, I think you're telling us this, but what do you, because you've become sort of a little master of ease, I would say. What do you hope people take away from the book?
Yeah, so I've written a few already, but they kind of grow because I've kind of been kind of mastering this way of conveying this over this time. So I've had some people who just, they could feel almost like there's like an energy shift or they suddenly feel like they're not themselves, that they find like new connections inside of them. So it has that kind of the way I've kind of felt this journey with myself for these last 20 years, that it's kind of a growing sense that you suddenly are starting to shed some of these emotional traumas or physical tensions within and like belief systems that just kind of make you trapped. And suddenly you start to discover this freedom within. So this book is kind of just there to give you a little bit, like, they're almost like small proverbs where you kind of like tune into a chapter a day, or we open it up sometimes, me and my wife, and like on one page, and we just kind of take with us that kind of juice within it, the nectar within it, and it starts to permeate from inside, and you start to just, oh, wow, I am more at ease, because it's so inconceivable in a way.
Right. And now the world is more, like you talk about the 21-year-old man that comes to the U.S. The world is different in the 20 years plus that you've been in the United States, and you see it. And you see it just around the world, too, even where you're from.
Yes. So that is kind of like, I've been kind of talking about this in Norway, looking at America. My family, a lot of them studied in America, too. So we looked at it, you know, different, but now we see all this changes. The whole world has become kind of more alive, but then that also makes people more aware of all these different belief systems and you know, the COVID and all this stuff that hits the humanity. But I kind of see this as, this felt like the perfect time for this book to come out, so that we can have all these mental and emotional stuff going on, but we have to dare to choose ease, or like that silence within. So it becomes more important now. So I was like, wow, it's literally like this book kind of came out and it was like finished now. And I'm like, wow, this is perfect, because I'm starting to feel that people need it more than ever, because people are becoming more conscious, kind of.
Yeah, I think they're becoming more conscious, definitely. All right, so The Ease of Being, you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Henrik, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I had such a good time talking to this man off the air. I am so thrilled to bring him onto this show. Seriously, he has great stories. He's a great storyteller. Stanley Howard Mazin, he's had this incredible life, really, in showbiz, dancing. A Dancer in Depth, Paragraphs from a Theater Life. That's the name of his book. Stan, your book is fascinating. How did you get into the biz?
Oh, how did I get into the biz? I'm from South Philadelphia, and when I was a kid, my parents sent me and my older sister to dance school until we ran out of money. And then in high school, we did a show called Carousel. Every high school needs male bodies to act as dancers. Talent has nothing to do with it. They just need the male bodies. And all my friends were singers. I never considered myself a singer. They were in the glee club. They got into the show and they said, well, you danced when you were a kid. Just, you know, get into the show. Well, I got into the show and I found out there was a little natural talent there. So when I went to college, I was taking mathematics. I was going to be a math teacher, and I was getting a little older, and the seed was already planted in my brain. And then I thought, well, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. If I don't leave college and try to do this, I will never, you know, I'll miss that opportunity. So I quit college. I got a job cleaning a dance studio. And they made me take all the classes that I could. In 6 months, they turned me into a teacher. And that's when I really learned to dance, by teaching. And I stayed there for 2 years, and we were teaching a convention in New York. So I said, I'm going to stay in New York. And that started my 48-year career dancing.
Wow, and you've had some incredible experiences on film, too, you know, from The Wedding Planner, Mame, The Backup Plan, etc., and The Blues Brothers. And you had a great story about John Belushi. Tell everybody about that.
First of all, I am a little square when it comes to drugs. My younger sister had a problem that way, so that basically kept me clean from drugs. But John, I always thought I had heard his reputation, and I thought, oh, well, he just takes drugs all the time. I did a little bit in Bob's Country Bunker where they have the mesh and people were throwing bottles. I had nothing to do with him personally, but in the audience, when they started to play Rawhide, I got on top of this table with a red cap, and I was tap dancing, and then I fell off. So I did my job, and then Friday night, we finished Friday night, and he sought me out while I was packing up to leave. He says, man, you did such a fabulous job. And I thought, oh, my God, he took the time to even pay attention to what I was doing? That was great. So that was on a Friday. On Monday, I wanted to return the tape to Carlton Johnson, who was the choreographer, who didn't tap. That's why he asked me to do it, because he wanted a little tap number up there.
Wow.
And so I went to the studio, Mara Landis, where they were rehearsing, and I stuck my head in the door. And Carlton was working with Aretha Franklin, and Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi were in the corner by the window. And I just stuck my head in to show Carlton the cassette that I wanted to return. John saw me. He left Dan, came up to the door, and he said, again, I want to thank you, and shook my hand. You did such a terrific job. Changed my outlook on what we hear about stars completely. No matter what he did recreationally, he was straight when he was working.
Yeah,
he was really level-headed. Yeah,
wow,
so he was just a dream.
How about that? And you also, for over 10 years, you were on the Carol Burnett Show. What was that? That's an iconic show. What was that like?
A dream, because for me, I get a little bored doing the same thing all the time. And every week we were doing different choreography. Plus, on that show, every two or three weeks, if they had a part with just a few lines, like five lines or less, they're called under fives. They would give them to the dancers rather than hire an actor. And I got to do a lot more acting because the director liked my acting more than he liked, I guess, a lot of the other guys. So I was very fortunate that I got to do a lot of little bits and everything. So
yeah.
I loved that. And she was such a dream. She's such a dream to work with, Carol.
Oh, I bet. Broadway
Absolutely.
Shows. What was your favorite Broadway show?
Well, I have a story about Cheetah Rivera. My second Broadway show was a show called Bajour with Cheetah Rivera, Herschel Bernardi, Nancy Dussault. I was in the chorus, but I was understudying the role opposite Cheetah, and it was a romantic role. Well, the guy doing the role came from West Side Story, and the first movie. And he looked a little bit younger than her. So when we auditioned for the role, I got to audition for the role, and I got it for the understudy. Well, I was getting ready to leave the show, and two little stories, but the second one was the best one. 1 week before I left the show to do Bernardo in West Side Story for a whole summer with Christopher Walken playing Riff, because he was a dancer before he was an actor. 1 week before I left the show, the guy doing the role left the theater. So they had to use me until they replaced me, because they wouldn't let me out of my Bernardo contract, which was just as well, because the show only lasted another 3 weeks, but West Side lasted the whole summer. So I got to go on with her, and she was such a dream to work with. I had a song with her, I had a scene with her, and I had a dance with her. And the song, I felt her, and I never considered myself a singer. I felt her hold back. She could do everything, Cheetah, everything beautifully. I felt her hold back and carry me right through the song. Absolutely. The scene was no problem because I was, and the dance was no problem. But the scene, it's a scene where I grab her. We have a fight, and I grab her by the nape of the neck, and I throw her, like, across, and then we come up to each other, like we're going to kill each other, and we go into this mad, passionate kiss. Funny story. The first night that I did it, this was when I took over the role, the first night that I kissed was like cardboard, okay? Lips touching, that's it, cardboard. The second performance, her mouth opens. My mouth opens. I'm just following Cheetah. Third performance, I'm feeling a little tongue there. I'm really feeling, so I reciprocate. The fourth performance, it is a mad, passionate French kiss. It's wild. I loved it. I loved it. That night, after the show, her secretary, I think her name was Joan, came up to me and said, Stan, Cheetah is afraid that the people in the first rows might be getting uncomfortable because the kiss is so real. And I said, I'm only taking it from her. Honest to God, Joan, I'm only taking it from her. And she said, well, she would just like you to calm it down a little bit. I said, absolutely. The next performance, back to cardboard.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that a funny story?
That's a great story.
I love Cheetah, and she loves her dancers. She's just a phenomenal woman.
So again, the name of the book, A Dancer in Depth, Paragraphs from a Theater Life. We're speaking with Stanley Howard Mason. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I'm very honest about everything about my life, my sexuality, my experiences, everything. But the main thing is that if I can write a book, anybody can write a book. Everyone's story is interesting to some people. Everyone's story. So I wanted to encourage people not to be afraid to put down their experiences on paper. And the second thing is, I want young people to know that whatever problems they have with their sexuality, just be yourself and be honest with everything. And you'll be fine. And you're never alone. Even though in the book, I repeat a couple times, there's that expression, no man is an island. Well, I believe every man is an island. No one knows what is going on in your brain. Every minute. No one knows that. So that's what I feel. But I wanted everybody just to live their life fully. The glass is always half full, and sometimes it takes work to keep it half full. And that's my outlook on life.
Oh, that's such a great outlook, and that's served you well since you started your career and probably before that as well. It was delightful having you on, Stan. Thanks so much.
Kate, I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow, so exciting to hear some of the people that he worked with. It really is an interesting book. Thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.